Hello, everyone. Welcome to the March 7th, 2018 Pony Sync Call. Let's jump into the RFC's repo and see what we have that might be ready to go. So I noticed that 120 has the final comment period label on it. That was applied 7 days ago, so theoretically it should be ready to go today. Is there any reason why we should delay the discussion of acceptance for this RFC? This is the compile time expressions RFC by Luke. Right. I'm going to go ahead and apply the ready for vote label, and then I'll ask. I think most people here have had a chance to take a look at this and comment on it. I know at least Benoit and I have. Is there anybody who has a reason why we should not go ahead and merge this as is?
I certainly don't. So go ahead.
All right, great. Merging now, there will be some bookkeeping that needs to be done at some point to apply the correct number and just a couple of housekeeping tasks, like apply the correct number and create the ticket in the Pony C repo, but skip over that for now. So yay, that's exciting. Let's take a look at issues that have neat discussion marked on them. We have, let's take a look at issue 2572. I noticed that it's on it. Benoit, do you have anything more to share about this, other than what you've already commented there?
No, not really.
Okay, so I guess we'll maybe not tackle it in this call, but at some point we need to figure out why the optimization pass is running twice on that function. I think that's probably too deep to really get into properly on this call, so we can skip out to another one. Moving on to 2575. So this is a ticket talking about improving error handling for the Pony ASIO event functions. In investigating another issue regarding a race condition in the process monitor library, this contributor identified that there's currently no way for bugs or errors that get raised up from the ASIO code to get actually bubbled up to the caller of the Pony ASIO event function. So it seems to me that this contributor has laid out two options for possible approaches of dealing with this. One of them, the first one was to basically change the function signature so that an error code could be returned from it rather than returning void, or possibly take it as a by reference argument. And option two would be to add a macro, the Pony runtime that prints something from standard error when an issue like this happens. I tend to think that because the Pony ASIO event functions are marked as public in that they don't have they don't have pony int as the prefix, they have pony underscore as the prefix. That means that they are supposedly fair game for users to make use of. And because of that, we can't assume that this kind of error that is described in this issue ticket is a runtime bug. It can very well be a user bug because they invoke the functions incorrectly. In this case, it happened to be incorrect issues in the standard library, but I think it's because this is pony underscore not pony int underscore, like we have to treat this as something that if there's an error, we need to communicate it back to the caller rather than treat it as a runtime bug. So on its face, that's my kind of general comment. Anybody have anything else to say about this issue?
I would agree with you that it should be available to the user.
Okay, I will work on typing a comment to that effect point in the near future. Other issues we have tagged with discussion during sync. I guess we can take a look at 2531. This was a bug report filed by Scott. Both Benoit and Matthias have chimed in here.
So what I can contribute here is that it seems to be related to having a tuple type in an if type construct. So if you click the link to the stringify apply method in one of my comments, I think it's the third one, and you see the code, it's basically a function. Now it's a match. It has been a it has been an if type. So I don't know, maybe like I give you a better link. I added a comment on the ticket. So you can now see actually. So there's a type parameter T that's checked for being stringable read or read set of stringable read and in an if type, and this is, I guess, what's causing or the result of those is what causing the assertion. So I hope this gives you enough pointers to... I wasn't able to dig any further, sorry.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. I'm in the middle of wrapping up a comment on the previous ticket. I'll just be a moment. Going to take off the needs discussion label on that ticket I was commenting on and put a turn into RFC label on it after making that suggestion in my comment. So let's move on to other tickets tagged with this label. Let's look at 2529, which ties into the one about ASIO event application. So it seems that I'm not sure if this label was applied more than a few weeks ago, and there have been more comments since then. It looks like this contributor has been looking into 2561, which is the Scott filed. I think this may not be a good candidate for discussing more on this call, unless anyone has anything else to say about it, because I need to kind of dig into it more and understand better what's going on here. What I'm saying, being intelligent about it. Unless anyone else has anything to say about this one, I just move on. Let's look at 2408. Pattern match claims case do not be matchable, although it should be. This is filed by Matthias. He and I have discussed a little bit back and forth on this issue. I summarized the on the previous sync call.
Maybe I can chime in. So the, as you see in the last comment, the backtrace is kind of like very deep. I feel like I'm not 100% sure, but the actual type parameter that's being checked for is an intersection of two nominals. One is integer and one is safe, called safe ops, just an interface. And the other one is a union type. So we have an intersection of a union type. And I think that it's that the checking logic is somehow wrongly assuming that every element of the union type needs to match. So this is my first guess. It's pretty hard to get into this to descend down into the state where you get now to the stack trace I printed below. So that takes a while for me. So it somehow descends into comparing an i16 to an i8, which is, and trying to check if they're equal, and then failing if they're not, which is the root cause.
I have to wonder if this ties into a discussion we've been having recently about extending the constraints packs to deal with. Where it seems maybe this relates to Benoit's discussion about the polymorphism. Where we're constraining t by integer t, but it's not enough for the compiler in this case. This is another case where I really just need to dig into that stack trace and find out more, I think, before we discuss it. That would take quite a while. The other one we have tagged here is 2390. Should integer operations SHL and SHR be defined in private trace? We left off on this. We left off with Matthias asking, is making signed integer and unsigned integer public fine for everyone? I think it makes sense. Does anybody here on this call have a concern about that?
I'll just check what they do rapidly to bring me up to date with this.
So it won't solve all problems, as I guess they are defined differently for signed and unsigned integers. But it would at least make dealing with numbers way easier.
I haven't looked closely at it, but it just seems to me supporting both signed and unsigned is the right way to go.
Yeah.
And Benoit, you were taking a closer look before you gave your feedback. Is that right?
Wayne, could you repeat what you said? I didn't really hear. I was just saying that signed and unsigned needed to be treated differently, and I think it's a good thing to expose them as two different items.
Okay, so I took a look at the code, and I'm not sure if maybe there is a way to introduce a bug by using signed integer with incompatible type arguments. For example, doing something like a signed integer of i8 and u16. So maybe that's the reason why they are private. I can't think of any way at the moment that this would be of any way to introduce a bug, but yeah, I'm not sure. So yeah, I think I would be interested to have Sylvan's input on that, since he seems to be the one that made the signed integer and unsigned integer private.
Maybe it's worth adding a new label for needing input from Sylvan.
Yeah, I think for now I'll just put a comment there. Yeah. If you want to create a new label for it, that would be okay. But maybe it would be, I don't know, like maybe the GitHub assignee feature would be useful for that.
Oh, yeah.
If you're looking for feedback from somebody in particular, put them as the assignee and add a short comment saying why you did that. Yeah. Okay, looking at pull requests, a little bit behind from the stuff that's happened in the past day or two, but it looks like looking at 2578, I had made a comment about an accidental commit of the standard lib binary tests in that one, and Theo fixed it. So I'm going to go ahead and merge 2578. That's the new Pony Bench API changes from the RFC 52. 2571. Add support for getting the index of a scheduler. It seems like that has feedback from Benoit that still needs to get incorporated, so we can get that one. We have Gordon here. Yes, we already approved this one. So 2576 fixes a G benchmark issue on Windows. Gordon's review had been requested, and he approved it, so I'm going to go ahead and merge this one. And 2579 is reverting. Okay, and there's a Travis CI failure that is supposed to be unrelated, so I'm going to take a quick look at that. But yeah, 2579 is reverting a PR that was part of the G benchmark changes.
Yeah, so Sean had long ago, or a while ago, had added Dragonfly support and had changed some FreeBSD defines that were specific to benchmark and really had nothing to do with a pony per se. And I didn't understand that when I had merged it. If I had, I probably wouldn't have merged it, but it's probably good to discuss it. So anyway, I've looked at it, and it's simply from GBenchmark's point of view, it's simply changing the name from FreeBSD to BSD, or actually it's Benchmark OS FreeBSD to Benchmark OS BSD, and you know there's no specific reason to do that. So I think reverting it and then being compatible with what's in Benchmark Google Benchmark is the proper approach. So this simply undoes those three little changes in three files.
Yeah. And I can verify that the Travis change is due to other pull requests that were fixes already 2580 in a new pull request. So,
okay.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
So I'll go ahead and merge this one.
Yeah.
And let's talk about 2580.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have more input from Cleary F as well, who is the contributor who had, apart from Scott, also been looking into ASIO race conditions stuff. So we have some new updates in the past few hours. It looks like Cleary F is okay. It looks like Cleary F has filed a pull request 2581 to solve at least part of that issue, which adds a return when the file descriptor for close FD is -1, returns early without doing any operations to close. Basically just not calling ASIO event unsubscribe on -1 and not calling closed on it. Does this make sense to those who have been talking about this issue?
Yes. So it might not be the solution to maybe there need to be some asserts added and some more work put into streamline this for all platforms. But it actually fixes master, so it's definitely necessary.
All right, should I add change log fixed on this, or has it been, or does it fix a bug that was introduced since the last release?
No, it wasn't introduced in the last release, just from like yesterday or day before.
Okay, so I don't think it needs a change log entry then.
Yeah.
And I guess all I should do right now is just hit approve because the CI hasn't gone through yet. Yeah. But I'll go ahead and just hit approve, and then if anyone else notices that this guy's gone through, then I can go ahead and merge it. Unfortunately, I have to run to another meeting at this time, but we still have about 30 minutes left to make a call. So if there's anything that you all want to discuss while we're here together, minus me, I would say feel free to do so. Otherwise, thanks, everyone. I will see you all next week, and feel free to continue without me.
See you.
Bye, Joe. All right, so since we've gone through RFCs, pull requests, and issues, does anybody have anything that you want to discuss?
I have a question if anybody has an opinion on, so I've been doing the G benchmark updating, and it's in pretty good shape. It's running fine now. But I was considering, and I'm doing an experiment whereby I changed the make process so that rather than checking in GBench, we would fetch GBench, the Google benchmark, from GitHub and be able to upgrade very simply by simply changing which commit that we bring in. And I noticed, you know, that isn't normally what happens, but it would seem, or I don't see any place else within the code base where external, where we have actually external dependencies. And I was just wondering, is there a reason for not doing that? In other words, so I'm going to be pushing up a PR at some point, hopefully today, which makes Google Benchmark an external, what generically is called an external dependency. And when you do a make, it'll fetch it if it's not there. Rather than checking it in permanently into the code base. Is there some philosophical reason not to do that or not?
I think the reason why it might not be ideal is if you're building from a computer without an internet access. But I think that's maybe not as problematic as it sounds. But maybe what we could do is to add it as a dependency. But while leaving the responsibility of installing it to the user, so for example, like we do with LLVM, where you can provide the path to an LLVM installation to the makefile, but you still have to install LLVM yourself. So maybe we could do something like that.
Okay. I think I understand. But for the shortest term, I think I'll finish up what I've done, and then so we have something concrete to discuss. The upshot is, you know, it took quite a bit of effort to try to bring in a new version of Google Benchmark. And when we have it installed in the system permanently, it's very easy to make changes, which can make it harder to upgrade in the future. And so that's an advantage of being able to use it externally. So, since there are, like you said, the LLVM dependencies that are somewhat similar, it sounds like philosophically this is potentially acceptable.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll discuss it more in depth when you open the repository.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, so anything else from anyone?
Not here.
Okay, then I guess we'll wrap it up. So thanks everybody for coming. and see you next week.
All right, bye.
Bye, everybody.